Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Wonderful Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Not words, not titles you would give to a child, but with the Lord's hand upon him, these are the words that Isaiah spoke. He had given King Ahaz a sign not too long before by God's own power. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel. Through a conception miracle, the promised Messiah would come into the world. Israel's and Judah's kings, all of their people throughout the ages were to believe that promise, that the Messiah would indeed come, and that Messiah would be greater than any of their kings could be. He would speak with God's own authority as God himself. And the Israelite kings and all the people throughout those years failed to trust in that promise of God, failed to cling to him alone no matter what arose, over and over again. Full redemption for God's people from their sin could never take place through one of their own normal descendants, nor was it ever supposed to. For the redemption of Israel, for Judah, for all of the world, would be through God's anointed one, God himself in human flesh. Now the faithful people of God believed that word of the prophet. The unbelievers rejected it. They trusted in their own power, their own reason, their own strength, negotiating abilities, not in God. That lack of faith, however, did not change God's plan. Through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord revealed more about this son to be born of a virgin. The son would be called Wonderful and Counselor. His name would be Mighty God. Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace would round out his great titles. All of these for a human son of a virgin. Who not only human like you and me, but truly more. With those titles, he would and must be divine. Son of God, Son of Man. The long-awaited Messiah. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end, Isaiah had said. Well, who alone but God in the flesh could meet such a tall order? Mighty God, born of a virgin, everlasting Father, the son of a young woman, the great Prince of Peace, as the virgin mother's child. Miracle of miracles, the Almighty God, in the person of God the Son, took on human flesh, blood, bone, skin. He emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. But not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. It is impossible to fully think about and to understand. How could the all-powerful God limit himself as a baby? How could the creator of all the universe, by the power of his word, so depend on a mother to feed him, to change him? How could the giver of all good things allow himself to hunger and thirst and to get tired? Marvel heaven, wonder earth, that our God chose such a birth. We know not how long it took for that boy, Jesus, to fully learn his power, his capabilities. But once aware of that identity as the eternal Son of God in the flesh, and that understanding his purpose for being Son of Man in this world, he no doubt reserved use of that power until his ministry of salvation was at hand. And when that time did come, his great power was revealed. No feat too difficult for the God made flesh. And the first miracle of Jesus was to change water into wine. And instantly, without hesitation, by the power of his word, the Lord Jesus provided further drink for the celebration of a wedding, an institution that God himself had ordained from before the fall of the world. Jesus continued on to demonstrate his power over sicknesses, making the blind to be able to see, causing the deaf to have opened ears, removing fevers from diseased bodies, restoring crippled limbs to full use, functionality. Jesus' power was manifested in his command over the demons, exiting the people that they possessed by his word. They could not resist the omnipotent voice of God's own Son. And Jesus showed forth his power even over the very curse of God's perfect creation, over sin and over death. In this world, he himself resisted every temptation to sin. He himself succumbed to death. He allowed the full wage for all sin to be paid for in his own innocent body and life. And then he showed death that it could not win over life. 3 days later, the all-powerful Son of God was back to life, divine body and divine soul back together as one, Christ. Isaiah had prophesied that the virgin Son would be the all-powerful God in human vesture, and Jesus is the only one to fulfill that prophecy. His miracles in his ministry are the evidence of that prophetic word of Isaiah. And his resurrection from the grave is the most potent proof of his power. Isaiah later prophesied more concerning that work of the God-man himself. Isaiah 35, it is written there where it says that the Christ comes, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Jesus announced all of this to his questioning relative, John, when he wanted to know if Jesus himself was the Christ. This sighting of Isaiah 35 lined up with all the miracles that Jesus had been working. They were given freely as a witness to John for his comfort, his consolation. And we recall the visits of the angels to the shepherds in a great display of power and might that only the shepherds were enabled to behold. The messengers of God announced the birth of the incarnate God. They had been tasked with proclaiming the birth of their God into this world. With great awe and wonder, the angels, in all their power and might, beheld their Creator lying in a manger at the mercy of his now fellow human beings. The presence of all of those angels lends testimony to the very person of this baby son of Mary. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, the angel said. And their words of praise of all the heavenly hosts gathered together have inspired our very worship down to this day. The words of the Gloria in Excelsis. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. While bearing the full deity in His person, and possessing all the great power of Himself as God, the Lord Jesus never once considered equality with God a thing to grasp, did not take that power for Himself and use it for His own well-being. Rather, His will was united with the will of the Father, as the Father's will and the Son's will should truly be united. And while He would use that power to help those who were in need, to save those who were sick, to forgive their sins, He did not use that power to spare Himself from being the full atoning price for all sin, even though the temptation was ready at hand. He became obedient to death, the wage of our sin, even death on the cross. For this reason, that child of omnipotence, willingly allowing sinful men to harm, to kill His God-man self, for this reason, we worship and we adore the only Savior from sin. He alone is the winner of our salvation. He alone is the forgiver and the forgiveness of our sins. So Jesus alone is worthy of our praise, our honor, our worship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And so with St. Paul, we acknowledge Jesus to be our Lord, before Almighty God has seated our Lord Jesus at His right hand, in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet, and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. This is our Lord. This is our King, our mighty God, our Prince of Peace, everlasting Father, now and forevermore. Amen. The peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting. Amen.